Hi, this is the Pacifica National Board Meeting Special Meeting Teleconference for November 6, 2006. This is Dave Adelson. I'm the chair. Is Teresa Allen here? Teresa's the secretary. She's not here. Mary Berg, can you call the roll, please?
Sure.
Teresa Allen.
Oh.
Teresa, you're there. We started the meeting, and we're just calling roll. Can you call the roll, please?
Yes. Just bear with me. Here we go. All right.
AC.
Okay. The time is 10:08 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Good enough.
Okay. David Adelson?
Here.
Teresa Allen is here. Murray Berg?
Here.
Evelyn Bethune?
Here.
Thank you. Lydia Brazon?
Here.
Thank you. AC Berg?
Here.
Lisa Davis?
Present.
Thank you. Patty Heffley?
Patty's here.
Thank you. Phil Jackson? Phil Jackson, I can't hear you. Coming back. Ray LaForest? Can't hear you. Ambrose Lane?
Here.
Thank you.
Ray's definitely here.
Okay. Bob Lederer?
Here.
Thank you. Alan Minsky?
Here.
Thank you. Rosalinda Montes Palacios? Not hearing you. Sarv Randhawa is not here. Rip Robbins?
Present.
Thank you. Rob Robinson?
Here.
Thank
Jackson.
You. Deb Shafto? Deb Shafto can't hear you. Phil Jackson?
Here.
Thank you. Zarina Shakir? Can't hear you. Don White?
Here.
Thank you. LaVarne Williams?
Present.
Thank you. Nathan Moore? Can't hear him. Greg Guma?
Here.
Thank you. Lonnie Hicks?
Here.
Thank you. Lonnie, were you on the previous meeting?
Yes, I was.
Just didn't hear you. Is Dan Siegel on this call?
No.
I'm going back. Is there anyone who did not hear their name called? Is Deb Shafto here? Zarina Shakir?
You call Rip?
I did call Rip.
Did you call Lydia?
I think I did, yes.
Okay.
Okay, so
did
I only...
Did you call Ray?
I did catch Ray. Thank you, Ray.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so I do not hear Rosalinda, Sarv, Deb, and Zarina.
And Nathan.
Thank you.
Who was the person whose name you called before Rip? Someone named Molly, I thought?
I said something about Sarv Randhawa.
Alan Minsky, you called before Rip.
No, before
okay,
Rip,
the,
I called.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I circulated a proposed agenda. Is there a motion to adopt that agenda?
So moved.
So moved. Second.
Okay, it's open for amendments.
This is Lydia.
Yes.
Okay, I would like to postpone my item, my 2 weeks.
Okay. Actually, since we have a listening audience, I'm going to quickly read it. After roll call and approval of agenda, we had approval of available minutes, special rule of order providing for election of affiliate directors each year, reports, including an ED report, a finance committee report, and a report on the elections, the Williams motion to rescind previously adopted resolution on funding for restoration of archive tapes, unfinished business, which includes the update on LSB chair reports, and new business, which was the Bird motion regarding communication to PMV directors and information requests, consideration of legal counsel participation in PMV in-person meetings, and motion on protocol for resignations. And that last item, Lydia is moving to postpone until our next meeting. Is there a second to that?
I second.
Any discussion or objection? Hearing none, we'll postpone that.
So we are
that.
Postponing consideration of legal counsel participation in PNB in-person meetings.
No.
Item 9, the Brazon motion.
Okay, thank you very much.
Anything else?
A point of inquiry.
Yes.
In the report on elections, is Les Radke going to be with us?
Greg?
Oh, I don't believe so, but I have a little bit of information for you if you need to.
Thank you.
I asked him to provide a report today, but I think he's kind of busy.
any other amendments to the agenda?
Just Bob.
Just Bob.
By the chair's calculation, this agenda is, well, now with the amendment, it's 2 hours and 50 minutes. And here on the East Coast, it's 10:15. And given that people have to get up and go to work tomorrow, I would move that the agenda be, that the meeting be adjourned at 11:45 Eastern, which is an hour and a half from now.
An hour and a half?
What time again?
11:45 Eastern, which is an hour and a half from now.
So you want to cut out.
So effectively, so you're saying adjournment at that time, sir?
Right.
Is there a second to that motion?
A second.
And is there debate on it?
Before it got seconded, should it have added the time definite for the remaining items that they be placed on the next open agenda?
That goes without saying.
Yeah.
That happens.
That's automatic.
Already, if they're not struck from the agenda, then they're all automatically carried over.
Great.
Any other discussion on this?
It's just, Mr. Chair. Okay, so I'm sorry, but point of information: we are cutting out 2 hours and 20 minutes of this meeting. Is that no? We're cutting out. We're cutting out. 1 hour and 20 minutes of it, is that right? It should, and when
that
do we...
That depends on how long it takes us to get through this, but yes.
Okay, and then we'll have to set new times when we get to each item, is that it?
No, he's not altering any times.
Call
we're
going to
take the items in order with the times, but we're going to adjourn at a time certain, unless there's a two-thirds override at that point. Any other discussion on the amendment?
Mr. Chair.
Hang on. I couldn't hear. I heard three people at once.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, this is Greg. I would like to suggest that you might consider eliminating item 4C since the election supervisor is not with us.
Is there somebody who would I'd like to take that separate from this. So we're going to decide whether we're going to do time certain. Then if people want to strike items, we'll take that. Anything else on the setting of a time certain for adjournment?
Don White here.
Go ahead, Don.
Well, this is really gutsy of me because here I'm on the West Coast where it's early and Bob is on the East Coast where it's late. I'm a little concerned about setting a time certain. You know, there could be a pressing issue that comes up at 11:45. I know this doesn't seem like a lot, but I would make a substitute motion to set the time certain at midnight, East Coast time.
Is there a second?
I second Ray.
Okay, Ray generously seconds from the East Coast. Is there further discussion?
Yes,
Mr.
I'd like to
hear a second on Bob Letterer's motion, so could we
I
just...
I second it, Bob Letterer's motion.
Yeah.
There was a chorus of seconds, to be honest. Most of them from the right side of the country, or the left.
All right.
Anyhow, Lisa.
I would like to remind people that if we were in a building and we had to get out at a certain time, we would get out. And I think we have to learn to conduct things like this. It's just unfair, especially with some people. I have already been up, have to get up very early in the morning, and then have to get up again tomorrow. And to just have it be, well, because they can't continue because they have to work or maybe they're just so exhausted. I think that's unfair. If we were in a building and the building said we had to be done by, we would, whatever had to be done would be done and what didn't would just have to go on. So I'm not for the amendment at all.
Okay. Anything further on the amendment? Or can we just vote?
This is Bob.
Go ahead.
Yeah, in the next round, Dave had just said is that if somebody thinks something is really time sensitive, we could amend it, you know, right away to switch the order. I mean, I'm not wedded to this particular order at this, you know, so we can make that adjustment. But I think we just have to. It would be good to have an agreement about the total end time, and then within it we can jiggle it.
Thank you. Okay. If there's no further discussion, then I've heard an objection to the midnight alternative, so we'll go to a vote. Can you call the roll on substituting midnight for 11:45?
Okay, this is Don White. Amendment or substitute.
Substitute.
And for midnight. All right, let's start with Patty Heffley. I don't hear Patty Heffley.
No.
No. Phil?
Is this, I'm sorry, for the midnight? Yes, for midnight.
Okay. Patty says yes to substituting to adjourn at midnight. Phil?
Yes.
Ray?
Yes.
Ambrose?
Abstain.
Bob?
No.
Alan?
I'll pass.
Rip?
Yes.
Rob?
No.
Deb? Oh, I don't think Deb's on. Zarina is not here. Don?
Yes.
LaVarn?
Pass.
I don't think Nathan Moore is here. Okay. Teresa says yes. Mary?
Yes.
Evelyn?
No.
Lydia?
No.
AC?
No.
Lisa?
No way.
All right. Is there anyone who did not hear their name called?
No way on earth.
Yeah, LaVarn. Yes.
LaVarn says yes. And Alan?
This is to replace midnight for 11:45?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No, to replace 11:45 with midnight.
Right now, I vote no.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
What about Dave?
7, 8, yes. Dave is chairing. 7. The vote's 8, yes. 7, no.
Okay. That motion carries. Next, is there any objection now to adopting midnight time certain? I.e., we just substituted that for the original motion. Can we adopt it? Okay, hearing no objection, it's adopted. For other adjustments to the agenda?
Mr. Chair, I move that we postpone approval of available minutes until the next open meeting, open session.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any objections or discussion? Hearing none, that's adopted. Anything else?
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
I'd like to remove the section that I was addressing relating to the, the equilibrium, for lack of a better word, of everybody.
Item 7.
Item 7, yeah.
Item 7.
Great. Okay, is there a second?
I'd like to remove that until the next meeting.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Any objection? Okay. Anything else? Okay. Hearing no other adjustments to the agenda, is there any objection to adopting the agenda as amended? Hearing no objection, we'll proceed. Okay. The first substantive item then on our agenda is a special rule of order providing for election of affiliate directors each year. This is put forth by Nathan Moore, who's not here, so I can read. I'll read the motion on his behalf. The text of the let me take a step back. The bylaws provide for the election of the affiliate directors as the first order of business at the March PNB meeting, and Robert's Rules indicates that bylaws that are in the nature of a rule of order, i.e., which specify the order in which the board does its own business, can be suspended with a special rule of order. So this change that's being proposed does not require a bylaws amendment because it simply changes when we would be electing affiliate directors. And I consulted with our attorney, who's not on the call any longer, but he agrees with the interpretation that it can be suspended. And for those who are interested, I had an exchange about it on the grassroots radio conference list with Carol Spooner, who, when I explained this issue, did not reflect any objection. I hope she would not mind my saying that. Maybe she missed my email, but in any case, there should be no legal problem with doing this. So the text of the special rule of order is as follows. All candidates for affiliate seats shall be invited to the board orientation retreat at the January PMB meeting and to serve on the affiliate's task force for the coming year. The board shall elect and seat affiliate directors during the first session of the January PMB meeting. So is there a second to that proposed motion from Nathan Moore?
I second that.
Okay. So discussion?
This is Teresa.
Go ahead.
I have one question. I'm sorry I wasn't on that call to discuss that with you. Is there anything that we are going to do to make sure that we don't have, for some reason, an unrealistic number of applications for the position of affiliate seat?
We could make them listen to our meeting.
That would do it.
That'll do it. Then you won't have any.
For some people, a trip to Houston would be worth sitting through a meeting.
Point of information, Rip Robbins here.
Go ahead.
Actually, I was about to bring up in this particular year anyway, the opposite effect, which is that there's very little time now to lobby. Last year, it actually wasn't until January or maybe even early February that we had nominations. And so I would think that there's not going to be a lot, given the short time period that we have.
Well, I think I'm just wondering, though, if we need to be prepared for the possibility that we're creating a loophole for people to get a free ride to Houston. Because,
Oh, God.
No, pardon me.
Excuse me. That really is a break in decorum.
Pardon me.
I apologize.
Well, we have bylaws, and we have any station that can nominate a person to a position. If we had, 10 stations nominate people according to our own rules, I think we could actually be creating some sort of precedent or problem if we don't consider that issue.
Teresa, if it came up and there were a problem, the board could also adopt a subsequent special rule of order to deal with the issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Point of information, and I just could... only because I'm just not very clear as to why. So I would just like a little bit more information in terms of the reason for the change and maybe understand why they had it so that the affiliates were elected in March, and then why to move it to January. I just want to...
I'll ask Ray and other members of the board who were part of the bylaws discussion to answer why it was originally set in March. The reason this is before us is that at the Grassroots Radio Conference in Madison, when we met with all the affiliates and we were discussing things like the fee increase and other things having to do with our relationship with them, they clearly expressed that they would like the affiliate directors to be at that first annual meeting when everybody gets to know each other on the board,
mm-hmm.
to be part of that initial orientation so that the people seated don't feel like they're behind for the whole period of time, that their term would coincide with the term of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That was what they asked for. Ray, do you have any memory of the discussion when the bylaws were originally passed?
Well, the rationale was... as people know, the affiliate PNBs have the same rights as other affiliates, except in a few issues, in a few cases, and this is one of them. So it was felt that this corporation's representative would be elected as a body, and then they would select among the people that had been elected by the affiliate. So therefore, they saw it as being a two-tier process. So the board would constitute itself first, and then when the affiliates, then as a board, then would decide on the among the people elected by the affiliates.
Nominated, you mean?
Nominated.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, this motion goes beyond what was in the bylaws in that it brings the people to the meeting explicitly. So the whole board will have the opportunity
to meet
them.
And it's very, very loud.
Yeah, we're all hearing it, I think.
Yeah.
I just muted to see if it was me, and it was.
Yeah.
I have a point there, though, if I may.
Go ahead, Ray.
The only concern I have, and I'm not saying that it would happen, I don't know if, I mean, by the way, maybe somebody made it already, because I did hear it before, is the idea that this motion as presented would set absolutely no limit. So theoretically, if there were 10, and since people know that every station, although in practice that has not happened, most people have been selected by groups of stations, but every individual station has the right to select a candidate, we could have 10 candidates. So that would be financially, that would be a heavy burden for us to carry. So I don't know if anybody has thought about how to deal with that issue.
I have a possible solution.
Okay, well, I want to hear, is there any other discussion on this? Anybody who hasn't spoken yet?
This is Bob, but I'll wait till, was that Evelyn?
No,
it was Teresa.
Teresa, yeah, I'll wait till Teresa speaks.
Go ahead, Teresa.
One possibility is that we could say all candidates, and we could say, comma, after being vetted by the on a PNB conference call. All affiliates, all candidates shall be invited. I mean, so actually, if there were a lot of them. And, like, their qualifications were absolutely unrealistic, several could be eliminated in that conference call.
The reason for the structure of this motion is that the newly seated members of the PNB don't become members until
exactly.
that January meeting. And up until that point, mm-hmm. the membership as it exists now is the membership. And so the issue was, which body of people is choosing the affiliate directors? As the bylaws are written now, it's the people with whom they serve for the bulk of that term. Now, as I understand it, and Ambrose can correct me if I'm wrong, the law does not distinguish between this board and that board, i.e. the board is the board is the board. And although
yep.
membership changes, it's still the board. So
yep.
from that point of view, yes, you could do it. But from another perspective, that changes which persons are making the selection.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to reiterate what I said to Teresa earlier, which is, and to bring up what Rick said, there's a recruitment that needs to happen as soon as possible to get people. In the event that we got a surfeit of candidates, we could pass another special rule of order to deal with it. My concern, given the shortness of time this evening, is that I'm not clear that we have the ability to craft the perfect motion now. So that is, but that's already too intrusive.
All right, thank you, Mr.
Chair.
Yes. Yes. And
I
should yield the chair. I've just participated in the debate. Can I yield the chair to, well, our vice chair is not here.
Well, no, we're going to be finished with it in a minute because
okay.
we only have, we're running out of time on it anyway. So.
David,
and
Bob.
I think I agree definitely that we should pass this and we can change it later. Interviewing people on the phone is really, really totally unsatisfactory, absolutely. And if we were surveyed with candidates, we could find a way to deal with it. But that is, I think we should go ahead so we can start this recruitment because it is.
Move the agenda.
Thank you.
Well, I had Bob recognized and then I'll, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I do think that this is a legitimate concern about the possibility there may be a large number of candidates given our financial difficulties that we would want to deal with it. And I think it's kind of awkward to deal with it after the fact because the motion says all candidates shall be invited. So we're having another meeting on the 24th, and that is not going to postpone any recruitment. As a matter of fact, whatever we adopt here is not going to postpone recruitment. But in any case, I'd rather us think about whether there might be some kind of mechanism such as empowering the outgoing board to, if there's a pool larger than, I'm just thinking out loud here, say larger than four, to narrow it to four, and that those four, no more than those four, would be invited to the in-person meeting or something. But maybe someone has a better solution. But rather than resolve all that now, let's just, I guess. I would want to postpone this till our next meeting.
Point of personal privilege, Mr. Chair. We've already pushed almost 2 hours' worth of stuff to the next meeting, plus other stuff, and
that's
now we would add this.
Not a point of personal privilege. Excuse me, this is not a personal privilege.
I felt
point
it was because we're going
to
do the same thing
I have
again.
To, I have to, a point of personal privilege is I have to scratch my ribs.
Okay.
Could you wait a moment while I do
okay,
that?
Okay, sorry. Well, I don't know what to call it, but...
Okay. It's a point of interruption formally, but it's not actually allowed. Bob, do you want to divide it and just act on the second part and then deal with the question of the mechanics later, or do you want to
that's fine.
Move the whole thing?
Now, we could, yeah, that's a good idea. Why don't we just deal with part two tonight, and then part one would move to postpone to the next meeting.
Why don't you just eliminate the word all? That gives the discretion to the board.
This is where, a point of information, if we did so, am I recognized?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. On what basis would we deselect which candidates are left out? Mary
that's
just said to... before that would be we by telephone, that's a cursory process.
No, we didn't select.
What Ambrose's point is that by eliminating all, you leave yourself the discretion to add a motion that describes how people become candidates. Although... the bylaws, I'd have to read and check the bylaws, because it may have a definition that we're not free to...
It says that the affiliates decide who the candidates are, and they can select them. It is a potential limit on how many they can select.
How about changing it to finalist candidates?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Why don't we just divide it? That seems so much
Bob's motion is to divide and postpone the first half. Is there a second?
I second that. Don't wait.
May we vote that directly, or do we need to discuss it?
I would like to clarify again what's happening here. Litter moved to divide where?
After the period. There
the
are
second
two sentences.
Sentence.
After first
move.
Sentence. Okay.
And to postpone the first until the next meeting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, that part is postponed. Now the second part. May we move to a vote on it?
This is Bob. I just wanted to point out that we don't have to do it tonight, but we're going to also have to adopt a special rule of order for a new deadline because the bylaws currently says nominations must be in to the secretary by February 15th. So we'll have to decide what a new deadline would be, but that can be decided at the same time we revisit the first sentence.
Thanks.
Don White here.
Go ahead, Don.
I'd like to direct a question to Rip, one of the affiliates.
Very quiet.
excuse me.
Sorry.
We have two more minutes on this item.
Okay, I can do this in 30 seconds. Rip, the board shall elect and seat affiliate directors during the first session of January P&B meeting. Do you support that as an affiliate representative? Does that make sense? The recruitment can be done, and all of this can be accomplished by the January meeting?
Well, it looks to me like it's the same process as we have in the bylaws now. It's just moving the ending date up. And what I see where it says shall elect and seat during the first session means that it's the new board that does the selecting. What top candidates, there were several ideas for how that takes place, either at the affiliate level or at the board level. But, you know, what's the number, three or four? It seemed like if you just dropped the word all, that the sentence would be open. But, you know, the thing about coming in March, that was my experience, was that there were a few things on the table that I really didn't know what, you know, I didn't have any background on it, but, you know, and I guess what it does is bring everyone up to a new meeting in January at the same time. So I could support that.
Teresa here. Also another problem.
We have time, so you have about 30 seconds.
Another problem with postponing the seating of the affiliate directors is that one of them might want to serve as secretary, for example, or might want to serve as vice chair and could not do that if they're not seated until the second meeting.
Okay. May we go ahead and bring us to
we're
the vote?
We're at time, so we
we're
have
at
to
time.
Do that.
Is the, so the motion, the portion of the motion we're considering reads, the board shall elect and seat affiliate directors during the first session of the January TNB meeting. Is there a, is there any objection? Actually, since this is a special rule of order, Teresa, will you please call the roll?
All right.
Any objection?
I know, but I just want to get the...
Phil Jackson?
Like to do the roll.
And
yes.
Would you say this was Bob Letterer's special rule of order, or
no? It was proposed by Nathan Moore.
Okay. I have a just a point of information right before I vote. Is does this take place immediately? Take effect immediately?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it happens next month, or in January?
It is 2.5 months.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, Nathan Moore's special rule of order, part two, as divided. Phil Jackson?
Yes.
All right. Ray LaForest?
Yes.
Ray, did you say yes?
Yes.
Thank you. Ambrose Lane?
Yes.
Bob Letterer?
Yes.
Alan Minsky?
Pass.
Thank you. Rip Robin?
Abstain.
Rob Robinson, I think maybe it is. He's correct. I think it might be best that we not involve affiliate directors in this decision. Am I correct,
Mr.
Chair?
Please continue with the roll call, Teresa.
Rob Robinson?
Yes.
Thank you. Deb Shafto? Not here. And Zarina's not here. Don White?
Yes.
LaVarne Williams?
Pass.
Pass. Nathan Moore's not here. Teresa Allen says yes. Mary Berg?
Yes.
Thank you. Evelyn Bethune?
Yes.
Thank you. Lydia?
Yes.
Thank you. AC?
Yes.
Thank you. Lisa?
Abstain.
Patty Heffley? Patty? I can't hear Patty. Okay. And going back to Alan Minsky?
Yes.
Alan is a yes. Going back to LaVarne.
Abstain.
Abstain. Is there anyone who did not hear their name called?
Patty?
Okay,
Patty?
That passes. That passes. Well, next thing on the agenda are the reports. The first thing is the ED report. We have 10 minutes for that. Can you let me know, Mary, in 5 minutes?
In 5 minutes.
Go ahead,
okay.
Greg.
That is 11 yes and no no's.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Greg, ED report.
Yeah, I'll try to be brief so we can keep moving the agenda. I'd like to focus a little bit on affiliate-related matters tonight, just to give you an update. Last meeting, I had let you know how our national shows were being carried by our sister stations. I'd just like to give you a brief update on the carriage of various national shows by affiliate stations. We tried to survey them. It's difficult to get in contact with all those stations, but out of 50 who we were able to contact, this is Ursula who did this work, we got 50 stations. Informativo Pacifica is being aired regularly on 4 affiliate stations, and 9 are either trying it out once in a while or seriously considering it airing it in the near future. Informed Dissent, about 13 affiliate stations currently airing some or all of the installments, and 4 are seriously considering airing it during or after election week. And again, keep in mind, this is not every station contact. This is about half of the affiliates.
I'm sorry, Mr. Yee, can you repeat those figures on that second
sure.
one?
Sure. Informativo Pacifica, of 50 stations contacted, 4 airing it regularly, 9 trying it out or seriously considering. Informed Dissent, 13 airing some or all of the installments, 4 and 4 additional considering airing it during or after election week. From the
Thanks.
Vault, 11 are airing some or all of the installments. and six additional are seriously considering adding it to their schedule. And live election night coverage, which is tomorrow night, 20 affiliate stations are airing some or all of it, or mixing it with their local news in some cases, and an additional five are considering airing it. Again, Ursula did that work, and it does take quite some time. There are quite a few narrative comments, but I won't go into them right now.
Point of information, Mr. Executive, you're saying that five still don't know whether they're going to take the live coverage?
Well, of the 50 we contacted, 20 are absolutely doing it, and a five are considering, in addition, doing it. Yeah, so possibly as many as 25 stations.
Thank you.
Members not interrupt TEP until after he's finished, and we can get any clarifications after he's finished.
Then I have a point of information from the chair. Are we going to ask him to give us a written report to attach to these minutes or not?
I can send you all of this information very easily afterwards, Teresa. Not a problem.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No problem. I also wanted to let you know a little bit of what Ursula's doing beyond that. She was recently out in the Midwest and working on our commitment to get additional nonprofits to apply for full power licensing, our Radio for the People campaign, which we are conducting in association with Prometheus Radio and the NFCB and other organizations. And she was in Iowa, and she met with the Immigrant Rights Network of Iowa, the Iowa Farmers Union, the Family Farm Defenders, and those and other organizations are working together to potentially organize a mini-conference for the Midwest in January or early spring to educate people about community media and build further support. In addition, I'm happy to report that the affiliate network of Pacifica Radio has now passed the 100 member mark. That just happened during the month of October. We gained five new affiliates during this month, which is a milestone, really rebuilding from where we were in the past. There are different figures about how big the affiliate network has been in the past, but this is getting to the point of equaling anything that we've had previously. We've added WESU in Middletown, Connecticut, KABU in Portland, Oregon, which we've been seeking to reconnect with for a long time, KSER in Everett, Washington, KSOW, a low-power station in Oregon, and another low-power station in Washington State, KLOI. Due to the work of Ursula, and in addition to that, I can report to you that I've signed approximately 45 contracts to date for this coming year. We'll get all of them signed, but of course this takes time. They have to be reviewed. Some are include cash payments for an entire year. Some are on an installment plan. But so we've almost have signed contracts for half of the affiliates about 1 month in, and have received in cash over $70,000 so far on those on the contracts. And so we're doing quite well. Our goal for this year is $100,000 in affiliate contracts. I think it's important sometimes to look at certain aspects of the organization, and I wanted to focus tonight on the affiliates a little bit because it rarely gets mentioned at these meetings. You've also asked in the past for information on the compliance with some of the election procedures. We have another item on that, so I'll wait perhaps to give you that information. And also just to follow up on the request that was made at the last meeting for information on the diversity of producers for Informed Dissent. The producers of that show, Mitch Jesuit and they are pulling that material together. They sent me information about the first three shows, but rather than go into that at this point, I'm hoping to, within the next week or so, to get all of the information. It takes some time to go back and to pull that all together, but they are working on it as was requested. And in addition, I've developed a voluntary self-identification form, which we will also distribute for this and any other program in the near future. I think that's enough for now, and I can talk about some of the election card information if you want at this point, or wait until the other item that you're dealing with that relates to this.
Greg, there were two other issues. One was we'd asked for regular reports at each meeting on what you done at each station to cover the Military Commissions Act, and the other was Ambrose Lane had had an information request, but that's relevant to the elections issue. So maybe
right, I thought that one I was sort of saving perhaps to deal with at the other item, but
good.
In terms of habeas corpus, the only news that I would have for you that's fresh is that Informed Dissent did devote segments to this issue, and that's being aired on all the stations at some point or another. I have received no word on any additional programming from individual stations. This is the last time I reported to you about this.
Lydia, go ahead.
No, I was just logging back on.
David, I have a question.
Alan.
Yeah, sorry, Greg, I just was taking notes, and I missed the number of stations that are carrying from the vault.
From the vault, okay. Let me go back and pull
and
that.
11.
11 carrying it and 6 considering.
Thanks. Then one more question, which is, and a follow-up after that, is when does Informed Dissent, what is the final week for that?
That would be the week after this, I believe it's.
Okay.
I can't remember what the Saturday is. It's the 16th or the 18th, somewhere in there. That Saturday.
Okay, and then I just want to, from my point of view, I want to just say this to the board, because I'll be maybe calling you or whoever's doing programming and talking about this. But I feel one thing that Pacifica could use, and maybe it's more easily done at the national level after Informed the Dissent, and this is obviously going to be group decisions are going to come up with this programming or whoever, but I really am interested in seeing Pacifica do some investigative journalism, maybe have a magazine that it can produce periodically.
We're at time.
Okay. I'd like to ask if we can have 5-minute extension to follow up on the Military Commissions Act coverage.
I so move. Teresa?
Is there a second?
I second.
Any objection? Greg, I want to read the motion calls for there to be airing of a public statement on the issue on the five sister stations as soon as possible. It calls for a press conference announcing Pacifica's viewpoint. Consistent on-air coverage of the issue, including on-air announcements of any legal proceedings and signal areas regarding the issue. Where appropriate, developing educational alliances with journalists and legal organizations that are addressing this issue. Filing amicus briefs in any relevant suits and any other appropriate measures. And then we request that you, on a regular basis, collect reports on what stations are doing and report it each day. But many of those things are things that really do need to come out of your office, things such as making sure that there's a statement that's airing on all five stations and the rest. And I'd like to know whether you feel that you have the time in the coming period to really promote that and
no.
Bring this forward.
Not to do all of those things and to do them well. I'm one person. And there is no staff that is specifically assigned to this. I'm doing what I can. I can write a statement. I can't guarantee you that it will be aired. I might be able to organize a press conference, but it will take time. And the more time I have to spend dealing with fighting brush fires in the organization and dealing with personnel disputes, which take a considerable amount of time, the less time I have to do things like that. And so the simple answer to the question is it's unlikely that in the near future that I will accomplish all of those lofty goals.
Okay. Any other discussion? Bob?
I just wanted to bring to everyone's attention, including those listening to the call, that the program that originates at WBAI called Law and Disorder, which is put together by lawyers from the Center for Constitutional Rights, the National Lawyers Guild, Amnesty, and another attorney, they have this morning they started a four-part series looking back over the past 2 years about the development of a police state in the U.S., and parts 2, 3, and 4 will be a discussion on the Military Commission Act of 2006 and the abolition of habeas corpus. So stations may want to consider picking that up, and they can go to lawanddisorder.org for all the details and how to download it.
Thank you very much, Bob. That's great news.
This
sure.
is Lydia.
One other thing, or Dave, or if you want me to come back, I had a question about the Spanish language news show.
If it's on a different issue, Lydia, is yours on the MCA issue or on a different issue?
No, it's on this issue.
Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say, and I totally understand, I think that we're not like a movement organization that can devote itself like CCR can to this issue, for example. However, if maybe we can get, and that can either be Bob or Gray or whoever, if we can get that schedule of when the hearings are, that is something that I think can be emailed to the stations and ask them to send it to all of their programmers. That's a simple enough thing to do, but somebody has to provide it for us. We shouldn't have to go out and look for it. So perhaps someone can contact CCR to provide that for us in a timely manner and tell them what our intent is, and that would be extremely mm-hmm. helpful to everyone.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, Bob, you had another issue?
Yeah. Greg, I just wanted to follow up on a question I asked you maybe in August, which is whether the Spanish language news program can be featured on the homepage of Pacifica.org, just as Democracy Now!, Free Speech Radio News, and Flashpoints and so forth are currently there.
Yeah, it can be, and it's a good time to bring that up because we're about to, hopefully within the next week, to launch the new and improved Pacifica.org, and that actually was discussed on the telephone last week by the managers. And that show and that, frankly, other shows that are that in some cases aren't officially national shows should also be featured. But yes, the answer is we can do that.
Rip,
and it should happen soon.
Go ahead, Rip.
Yeah, I've just been looking at these numbers, and I just want the board to realize here how easy it is for the Pacifica Reach to get out there. 13 stations took informed dissent. You know, and if the other 50, let's say it's 25%, well, that's pretty good given that this show was resisted all along the way. I mean, from the time it was proposed, it was suggested how awful it would be. And I think for that many stations to take it really displays the talent. And like Bob was mentioning, a WBAI show, Law and Disorder, and I know that on Informed Dissent, that a number of the features are from WBAI, and the whole show is really well done. So this is an example. I mean, just imagine if we were producing
we're
this stuff
time.
Ongoing, you know, how many stations would carry it. So I'm quite pleased with this number.
Okay, we are at time, so if there's no motion to extend time, we'll proceed with the agenda. The next
I move that we extend 5 minutes.
The motion to extend 5 minutes. Is there a second? Hearing no second, it fails. So the next item on the agenda is, if I can see it, is that the Finance Committee report. LaVon's chair of the Finance Committee. Go ahead, LaVon.
Yes, hello. Yes, thank you. In the Finance Committee report, what I'd like to do is to read the motions that we have that we'd like for the PNB to consider. And then the rest of the Finance Committee report, I'd like our CFO, Ryan Hicks, to report in on where we are with the plan and also perhaps an update on the fund drive. And I think that would take care of our business and that would make it considerably shorter, hopefully, so we can proceed. Okay, first, on the we have two motions. I sent them out earlier, and then I resent them just a few minutes or an hour ago. And the first motion was one that we'd actually passed almost a year ago, and I will read that motion. It's a motion by the member of the committee at that time, Marnie Tattersall, that all general manager expense reimbursements must first be submitted via expense reports with receipts attached for approval to the executive director or CFO in the ED's absence before general manager expenses are reimbursed. And this was approved without objection. And if you'd like me to speak to the motion?
Yeah, please.
On the Finance Committee, I think that we have, over the last 3 years, that we've moved ahead in terms of trying to provide a structure to and process to various functions within the finance community, or in terms of how we can get things done in a more efficient manner, and that would be apparent for any director to or anyone to look at and understand. And expense reports is simply a vehicle to get in a process so that the expenses must be approved by the executive director or the CFO, or which is everyone reports in to the manager. And this is a process that is carried out in any type of finance organization where there's any process in place. Any expense report expenses are first approved by the manager of that individual before they are paid out. So that's simply in terms of getting us in a standard process so that we will have an idea of what our spending will be. And in order to control our spending also. Thank you.
Okay. As coming from a committee, it doesn't require a second. It's open for debate.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead.
Okay. Laverne, I just have a question. We have also the discussion at the PMB previously, way earlier this year, also came up about the use of those managers who use their personal bank account, debit cards, to buy the premiums in bulk, to do, you know, exorbitant things. I know that's true at our station, and that's highly irregular, particularly at a nonprofit of our size. And can't we have, like, credit cards issued to them with a limit and so that they're not out of pocket during that whole reimbursement process? I wholeheartedly endorse this motion, but I think I would like to recommend that the Finance Committee take that issue up, because I think that complicates so many issues.
Thank you very much, because that's the second motion.
So, oh, it is. I'm sorry.
Yes, it is.
I missed that one. Sorry.
Very, very good. Thank you.
Sorry.
That motion is, should I go to the next one, or shall I wait?
You can wait. Okay.
Why don't you read it quickly so people know what it is, but that's not before us at the moment.
Okay.
Go ahead and read it, and then I'll recognize the people on the stack for this.
Okay. The other motion was actually a motion that was presented from the KPFK LSB, and this was done last year also. And basically, the motion says that the national office shall assist local stations in obtaining credit cards as soon as possible, secured. Oh, just a second.
Well, maybe somebody else can read it.
That was interesting.
Sounds like her cat was about to do something.
Mm-hmm. I actually have it in front of me. I could finish reading it out loud.
Okay,
why not?
Okay.
Thank you.
That the national office shall assist local stations in obtaining credit cards as soon as possible,
so that
the station managers and foundation officers need not use their personal credit for foundation business.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I had a little accident at home, but everything's okay. Thanks,
yeah,
Bob. Was that Bob?
All is together. Who else had asked to be on the
Don White. No, I asked that be read again. Could that be read again? I didn't quite hear it.
Can you read it again, LaVar?
I mean,
yes.
Letterer was reading it, and I missed part of it.
Sorry, I was interrupted. I'm sorry. I'll read it, but thanks, Bob. That the national office shall assist local stations in obtaining credit cards as soon as possible, secured if necessary, so that the station managers and foundation officers need not use their personal credit for foundation business.
So that motion is not before us yet, but it will be as soon as we process this one. So, Don, go ahead.
Yeah, well, the first motion I very much support in principle and in spirit. I think the more oversight, the better. I'm just wondering, I'm thinking in terms of the, if I understand the motion correctly, the executive director must review this and the receipts and so on. I'm just wondering, Laverne, if there was any thought given to a minimum, or I should say a maximum, or I should say no, a minimum amount that could be exempt, say, under a certain amount, just to reduce the flow of documents to the executive director with receipts attached, something like reimbursements over, you know, $30, let's say, or something. Or did, was there any discussion on exempting small amounts?
Lonnie can chime in at any time, but if there's a small amount, usually a station carries what they call petty cash.
Right.
So if there's some small amount, the manager at that person's discretion can handle that through that type of thing. And small amounts that are not related to station business, but basically expenses that perhaps the general manager might have in terms of taking care of business, going out to see listeners or whatever, that would still could be submitted on an expense report and to be reimbursed later. We're kind of making it too, but right, that's how you could handle that. Arlani, however you would suggest.
Well, that seems reasonable to me.
Okay.
My question.
Go ahead.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Why are we specifying the officer to whom it should be submitted? It's the office. It seems to me that it should be submitted to the finance office, mm-hmm. not to the executive director or CFO. I mean, I run a lot of nonprofits, and I never get it first. It's first perused by the finance office and then signed off by whoever's in that finance office before it gets to me.
I have a question for information.
Hang on a sec, Ray.
Wait a minute.
Is it about what Ambrose just said?
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Are you saying that you want the information to be submitted to the CFO, or are you adding an extra step to the CFO instead of the ED, or you're saying that it should go to the CFO first and then to the ED?
It should be submitted to the finance office.
And then
which is ruled over by the CFO. And when it gets to the executive director, it should have been vetted. All those receipts should have been checked out. And the only thing he needs to do is approve it if the finance office has vetted it.
Okay,
should not be first instance.
Okay, let me understand what you're saying. Okay, in terms of the process and how the expense report flows, that the expense report can go directly to the finance office and the person who works in the finance organization for to be certain that all receipts are attached and everything, and then submit it, then have the ED or the CFO sign off on the expense report?
Both of them ought to sign off.
Okay, both signatures?
Yeah.
For the general manager?
Yeah, you ought to have a form.
Like amended?
No, you should have a form that approval form
mm-hmm.
that has a place for the CFO and the executive director giving the final approval. But it should go to the finance office.
We can actually go in and set up a flow. In terms of how to how the document actually flows
mm-hmm.
when it goes in.
Yep.
And then what we could do is, I think Lonnie does have some formats, and I have just a little informal one that I've used, and we can share that to show you, and Lonnie can share that with you to see what is
right.
what the existing format looks like, so we can do that. But absolutely, in terms of the flow, yes.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, we have 4 minutes left on this item.
And we have several other motions, so I want to ask a question. Is what you've described, Emma, something you want the executives to develop, because it doesn't preclude what you've described. It just doesn't make it explicit. Or do you want to amend this motion?
What I'd like to do is get a response from the CFO as to their current procedure.